We're back, and I'm Hollis Walker, sitting in for Mary Charlotte on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My guest for this segment is Dr. Peggy Poling. Dr. Poling is head of the largest project for women ever undertaken by the U.S. government, and this project happens to be in Afghanistan. We're recording this segment during Dr. Poling's recent visit home to Santa Fe. Welcome, Dr. Poling.
Thank you.
Can I call you Peggy?
Please.
Okay, good. Tell us.
You have for many years.
Yes, I have. I met Dr. Poling. I met Peggy in, I think, 91.
I think it was before that even. I think it was 88 or 87.
Yeah, maybe so. Mm-hmm. You were associate vice president at New Mexico Highlands University mm-hmm. at the time, and I was working there as well. So tell us a little bit about your background. You're a native New Mexican, right?
I'm a fifth generation New Mexican from the northeast corner of the state. I come from a long line of ranching families, typical country girl, who went off.
Who went off to discover the world, mm-hmm. right? And you spent something like the last 25 years working overseas. How did that come about?
Well, it came about actually when I was at New Mexico Highlands and a friend of mine was going to Turkey. And I was so misinformed, I don't want to say ignorant, about the world that I had to look at the map to see where Turkey was. And I said to her very briefly, I said, well, if you need somebody else, give me a call. Well, lo and behold, one morning at 3 o'clock, the call came, and I said, sure, I'll go to Turkey. So perchance a door opened. Who knows why?
Right. And since then, you work basically in international education development.
Yes.
And you've been in Afghanistan, I think I counted after we talked the other day, 5 times. In Pakistan, Liberia, Jordan, and Turkey, as you said. You've run a World Bank project. You've started numerous vocational training programs. You've even started universities for
yes.
other countries. And you were the first provost of the American University in Afghanistan.
That's right.
So, and you were in higher education here before you started overseas.
Yes.
Yeah. So, since this is your fifth or so time to work in Afghanistan, I'm going to assume it hasn't been an easy place to work. What's it like?
It's not easy at all. Security is an issue. It drives how you work. It drives where you can do programs. It drives how you can actually implement things. It is the overriding factor of everything.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the project that you're doing. Tell me about it and what its aims are. You've said it's the largest project ever done like this.
It's funded by USAID, United States Agency for International Development, and it really has 4 different components to it. The first one, which I am the head of, is called Women's Leadership and Development. And out of that project, then, will come 3 new components. One of them will be women in business, women in government, and women in civil society. So the theory is you train women first in how to be a manager and help them understand what makes people leaders, and then you give them specific skills in different areas. And the goal is to advance women. We'll be working with more than 25,000 women in the first 5 years.
And will they be from all over?
They'll be from different provinces, from Kabul, Kandahar, Herat, Jalalabad, and the provinces that are more difficult to work in. So there'll be 5 different areas that we really work in.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you first went to Afghanistan, it was immediately post 9/11, if I'm correct.
Yes, it was.
And what was the status of women in Afghanistan at the time?
Well, women then had not been able to leave their homes. They couldn't appear on the street unless they were with a man, and they could appear only if they were covered. They had not been able to pursue education. And so the first project I headed up was really in basic education, elementary education, and it was to enroll girls in school. It also was to enroll young boys in school because there had been no education at all.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So how – and things have changed significantly for Afghan women. Am I right?
They have changed significantly. Some for the good and some for the bad.
Oh,
but there have been a lot of good changes. Women are now in visible positions. With the election of Ashraf Ghani as president, mm-hmm. his wife is very visible and very outspoken. And he himself has been a strong supporter of women's rights for many years.
And you've known him for some time.
Yes.
So you feel confident that he's a good force, at least for women's rights in the country?
He's got as good a chance as anyone.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there are many factors that are still against him, but he's got a, if anyone has a chance, he does.
Mm-hmm. So there are many more women are in school now, girls and women in
yes.
school, and in the universities as well.
Yes.
And there's some way that they've gotten more women in the houses of government and the ministries.
Yes, there are. Certainly the Minister of Women's Affairs, women are in that ministry. But women are now beginning to rise to positions in the other ministries. And to me, that's important, that they find success in ministries other than those focused just on women.
Mm-hmm. And why, you know, I'm interested in why is this important for the future of Afghanistan? Of course, you know, most of us think, of course, educating and helping women to be in business and you know, make livings and things like that is very important to the individuals involved. But why is it important for the future of Afghanistan?
Well, I think it was Confucius who said that women hold up 50% of the sky.
Mm.
And if you really want to talk about a country being a success, all citizens have to have equal opportunities. And with opportunities goes rights and responsibilities. So if the country is run only by men, then the women will never move forward. And it is women who educate the next generation. Therefore, it's really important that women move to leadership positions because they are the ones who educate the next generation, boys or girls.
Yeah, exactly. So tell me how the project will work. If I'm an Afghani woman and I hear about this and I want to get involved, how will it work for me?
Well, there's two audiences. The first one, the primary audience, is women who have graduated from high school and have perhaps some additional education or experience. And so it's not starting at the complete zero level, mm-hmm. but starting with women who already have education and some aspiration. And we'll work with about 19,000 of those women to help them gain new skills and knowledge. Then the secondary audience is high school girls. And we will work within about, you know, 9,000 of those. And to see that they have skills in order to be able to make a living when they graduate from high school. But first of all, to see they graduate from high school.
Mm-hmm. And so if I applied to and was accepted into this program, what kind of training would I get? Or?
Well, first of all, you would go through the basic management and leadership training. And then after that, you probably would be assigned to do an internship. You would be assigned to a mentor. So it's more than just training.
Uh-huh.
It is actually providing opportunities and linkages after the training.
Uh-huh.
And what happens a lot of times with training, the training ends and then there's nothing in place to move those people forward and give them more opportunities. So this program focuses a great deal on the opportunities that come after the training.
I read some of the documents you gave me about the program, and it said that, for example, a woman who was in the Women in Government program would go through a training, have an internship in a government, and then literally be transferred into a job situation.
Yes.
So that doesn't happen. So they don't fall off the cliff, but actually
That's right.
get somewhere in the future.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And how big is this project?
Well, it's around, some people say it will be between $600 and $650 million for the 5 years.
Wow.
And that means funding from the U.S. government, but also from other international donors, such as Japan.
Mm-hmm.
The Norwegians are very interested in funding. Certainly the U.K. and Australia and many of our major allies.
Mm-hmm.
But China also is very involved in Afghanistan right now, and they may come forward with some money, too.
That's interesting. I had no idea China was involved in Afghanistan.
China's involved in lots of places where there's opportunities.
Yes, of course. I wish I could just crawl inside your brain, Peggy, and know all that you know about Afghanistan, having been there for so long, that you just have so much knowledge about the place. But I wanted to ask you, how will the legacy of this program work? You're working with Afghan women, right?
One of the slogans or principles of the projects is Afghan First, which means that while I am, incidentally, my title is Chief of Party, and some of my friends find that humorous, but that is carryover from the old days of when USAID was considered a mission.
Uh-huh.
And so as manager of this project, I'm heavily involved for the first 2.5 years. Then at that point, I hand over the management and leadership of this project to a young Afghan woman who has already been identified, and I will work with her and mentor her. So she is fully prepared to do this. The other things is many projects in the past, most of the staff has been expats.
Well, expatriates, people from other countries.
That's right. And with this project, nearly all of our staff is Afghan. And so the concept is not only to develop the original and the focus audience, but to develop the staff you're working with.
Yeah, not just the trainees, but also the staff themselves.
And I certainly intend to see that two or three of the staff members will be well situated to become head of projects of their own after I leave.
So I'm assuming most of these people speak English that you work
yes,
with?
Yes, English is the language of business in Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
It is when the training will take place, it will take place with the language of that province.
Mm-hmm.
And there's basically two languages in Afghanistan, which complicates things, Pashto and Dari.
Uh-huh. And have you learned any Pashto and Dari?
I have learned none. I'm still trying to master English.
That's great. The training that they'll get, if I were in the business mm-hmm. Portion of this project, what would that look like? Would I go to work for someone else?
Well, you would learn, first of all, certain principles of business.
Mm-hmm.
You would learn how to develop a business plan. You would learn principles of inventory. You would learn things about marketing. You would learn the very basic skills it takes to be a success in that avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it, besides that there's a general core curriculum, then there will be individualized training that takes place through the internships and mentoring.
And how long will the program last for a typical woman?
It depends on that woman's level and her expertise and also her level of interest. So certainly there will be a 3-month period where they take the basic management and leadership. Then another 3-month period where they take the basic skills training, for instance, in business, mm-hmm. government, or civil society.
I would imagine that there might be some discomfort among the community or among a woman's husband or family about them doing this. How are you going to deal with that?
Well, that's one reason we're involving men. Many men will be involved in this project because men have to support and believe in it, too, for it to be a success. Many men are very pro-female. They're very supportive of women in moving forward. As one of my colleagues said to me once, he said, I have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that he really got the concept.
Mm-hmm.
And so it depends a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is that because we are a program for women and very, very visible, that means that there is a lot of animosity towards us by certain people.
Well, the Taliban.
Extremely conservative, yeah. The mm-hmm. Taliban, lots groups. Of different forces.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing one of the things that they do not want to happen, which is you're educating women. And so that must make you very nervous or at least highly alert.
It makes me... doesn't make me nervous. It makes me conscious of what's going on around.
Mm-hmm.
And a large amount of our budget is towards security. And when the women go out to the provinces, when we're working in the provinces, security will be carefully analyzed, and we will work with Afghans from that community, and we will work in places that they identify. So it will be led by Afghans.
Mm-hmm. And so far as your personal security, I know that you live in the Green Village, which explain what the Green Village is.
Well, in my better days, I describe it as a college campus because I live as if I'm in a dormitory. I live with very high walls around me, several layers of walls. I go to a huge dining facility to eat, and my office building is located there too.
It's sort of like a military base.
It is a military base in reality. That's what it was built for originally.
But it was attacked recently. It was the...
Yes.
Yeah. And what happened?
Well, they came to the front gate. There was four suicide bombers. The car was filled with explosives, and it blew up the main gate and the first wall, first level of wall, and killed the driver of the car. It also, the three then suicide people that tried to get in were killed. And so in some ways, the event didn't scare me. It made me quite comfortable that they blow up the front gate, but they can't get in.
Yes, that the security system did work ultimately.
Yes.
But you feel fairly safe in the compound, but you do sometimes have to leave the compound.
Have to leave the compound to go to the U.S. Embassy to meet with our funders at USAID, and sometimes you just have to get out a little bit.
Yeah.
But you don't get out much.
Yeah, yeah. And you expect to be there how long?
I expect to be there somewhere around two and a half years.
Mm-hmm. Peggy, I know that you have a long background in doing work with women's rights. But for listeners who just tuned in, I'm talking with Dr. Peggy Poling, who is the head of the largest women's project benefiting women and girls that USAID has ever sponsored, and it's in Kabul, Afghanistan, where she lives. And I wanted to mention that you have had a long history of working on projects to help women and girls. I think you helped to start the New Mexico Women's Foundation.
Yes, I was one of the founders of the New Mexico Women's Foundation. One time I was on the New Mexico Commission for the Status of Women. Mm-hmm. And I've just always thought women needed a little extra help and a little extra push.
And don't you now sit on the board of directors of the Pablita Velarde Museum?
I do. I do.
Indian Women in the Arts here in Santa
Yes.
Fe. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, so you've been quite the feminist in your career in a way.
I have.
Yeah. But not the loud, rowdy, troublemaking kind, the kind that works from the inside out.
I think that's a good way to describe me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I sometimes think those that work a little quieter and maybe are a little more directed, and I think in the long run what they accomplish is more sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my personal preference.
Mm-hmm. Now, why have you kept going back to Afghanistan? You told me the other day every time you go, you say never again.
Every time I go. No, every time I leave, I say, well, I'm never going back. I guess, you know, I'm like a boomerang. I'm an Afghanistan boomerang. There's something that calls me there, the people, men and women, their loyalty to me and the way they help me and the way they appreciate what the U.S. government funding does for them. We hear a lot of bad press about what the U.S. government does, but the actual people that benefit from it, I have utmost respect for. And I guess I feel maybe that that's my calling in life, if we have a calling in life.
Mm-hmm. To work on that kind of project and one that benefits women and girls. And when you come back, what will you do?
Well, I'm going to retire again. I'm very good at retiring. I've done it several times. And so I guess I'm an expert at retirement because I keep doing it. So I'm going to come back and talk to my cat and read more books and spend more time with my family in the northeast corner of the state.
So, yeah, your family is still in the ranching business, right? Do you get to spend much time up there?
Some.
It's cattle ranching?
Cattle ranching.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And the family is still involved, right?
Right. My family's been cattle ranching in Union County since 1887.
Wow. And you've never wanted to go back and get on a horse again?
I might for an afternoon. Frankly, it doesn't pay as well.
Right. Well, you know, that's one of the things. You've been doing this overseas work for so long that I imagine that you have developed this very particular expertise in what you do.
Unbeknownst to myself and with no intention, I became a specialist in Afghanistan, particularly in education. And that simply is longevity and because I kept returning. And so I have a lot of the institutional memory and institutional history since 2003.
Mm-hmm. Now, of the different places that you've been living overseas and working, which is your favorite?
Well, Turkey is my favorite as far as a place to go to and travel and spend time relaxing and et cetera. But there is something about Afghanistan that calls me.
Besides coming here, you're able to come here, what, maybe once a year?
Sure.
Where do the expatriates that live and work in Afghanistan go for little vacations?
Any and every place. Dubai. A lot of people don't like Dubai. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly every chance I get, I hop over to Istanbul.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And hang out in your favorite mm-hmm. place. That's really great. I've been talking with Dr. Peggy Poling of the... Tell me the name of the project. I keep forgetting it.
The name of the project is Promote. Promote, and then this particular component is the Women Leadership Development, or WLD, and I call it the Wild Women, sort of taken off on the WLD. And the WLD project, like I said earlier, is really the linchpin to the other three projects that will come afterwards.
Mm-hmm. That are also in the educational arena?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I really appreciate you being here today, Peggy.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful to talk to you. And
it's been my pleasure.
I wish you a good luck back in Afghanistan, and may you be safe there. And I hope we will see you again soon.